Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Think Orange podcast.
A podcast with ideas and conversations to help you influence the next generation.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the Think Orange podcast. My name is Dave. I am your host, and it is so good to be back here in the Think Orange bunker with my good friend Kevin, sitting just outside looking through the little porthole window. But we are so glad that you've joined us. I am so glad to be back, and I'm especially excited about what we have prepared for you today. You are absolutely going to love this podcast. But before we get into that, I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. It's so good to be back. I hope that you, as you sat around last week, you had so much to be thankful for. And you know what? We would love to hear what that is. If you go to thinkorangepodcast.com, you will see that there is a contact form there. Would you take a moment just to fill that out? Tell us all the things that you are thankful for, because we would just love to get to know you. We want to build not just a community, we want to build a Think Orange podcast family. And that means you getting involved in the show as well. And today's show is just one of those episodes that I could not be more excited about. We are going to be hearing from two incredible leaders, two incredible men. First up, we're going to be hearing from Jeff Schinnebarger. Jeff is a social entrepreneur and he's an author. He's been featured on CNN, USA Weekend, Atlanta Journal Constitution, Huffington Post, Christianity Today, and Relevant Magazine. He creatively led the Catalyst Conference for a while. He's been a TEDx speaker. He's spoken at Catalyst and Q Ideas, but Jeff is currently the executive director of Plywood People, and he has a vision to make Atlanta a center for social innovation. He's going to be talking about choosing a lifestyle of generosity. You are absolutely going to want to get a pen and paper out or crack open your Evernote, whatever it is, because Jeff issues some powerful challenges for everybody who is in ministry, especially when it comes to dealing with students and families. Now, after Jeff, I had the opportunity to interview my good friend, Gerald Fatiomi. Now, Gerald is a guy who I interviewed while we're out on the road, but he's also a really good friend of mine. He is the high school pastor at Brownsbridge Church, which is actually where my family goes to church. So he has the misfortune, or the fortune, I don't know which one it is, of leading my two of my teenage girls. And he does an absolute fantastic job. He's extremely passionate about letting teens tell their story and engaging them with the truth of God. He's a speaker at Big Stuff. He's a speaker at the Orange Conference. He preaches at Brownsbridge as well. And before working for Brownsbridge, Gerald worked at the Metro Atlanta YMCA for 3 years, where he poured into students from across Atlanta. He is an incredible person. And he's also going to be talking about what it means to just choose this lifestyle of generosity, to go the extra mile, not just to do the things that you're assigned to do, but going a little bit further and the impact that that can have on both students and on the families that you serve. Now, both Jeff and Gerald are really four families, and they're really four students as well, which is kind of a coincidence, because today's podcast is brought to you by a brand new product released by Orange called Four, F-O-R. And here's the pitch. So your church and its people belong to a community, but what if more than just being part of the community, what if they were actually known for being for the local community? What would it mean for your church to engage with local people and local schools and businesses in such a way that your church actually became a catalyst for lasting change in the community? Well, that's what the Four Starter Kit is really all about. It is a resource that will help your church become a vital part of your community. It includes training videos, senior leader messages, small group resources, graphics, and marketing materials. Really everything that you would ever need to become an organization that is known for being for your community. And you can pick up the Four Starter Kit simply by going to orangestore.org. That's orangestore.org, and then search for Four, F-O-R, Starter Kit. There it is. I hope that made sense. That's a lot of fours in there. F-O-R, Four Starter Kit. Go and pick one up. It is an amazing, amazing resource. Well, you know what? I'm going to get straight into today's content. So I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm going to throw it straight over to Jeff Schinnebarger. And straight after that, we're going to be hearing from Gerald Fatiomi. Before I go, one more time, break out that Evernote. Get your moleskin out. This is going to be an incredible episode.
You will never have enough until you believe you are good enough. You might be dealing with that, and I guarantee your students are dealing with it. There is no doubt about that. They're struggling with their identities. I have struggled with my identity. This is part of the story. You will never have enough until you believe enough, that you're good enough. In this chart of, you know, excess, enough, and suffering, this, I believe, is the starting point to drawing that line of what is enough. The second part is this premise that I realize is enough for you will never be enough for me. Too often we compare what we have to someone else, right? I want to give one quick example. If you'll turn to the person next to you and answer the question, what is enough sleep? Okay. See my point. It's right. Enough for you is never enough for me. Okay, so how many 4 hours is enough? Wow. Anything less? 3 hours? Any less? Wow, that's amazing. 4 hours. That's very rare. 5 hours? 6 hours? 7 hours? 8 hours? Anyone over eight does not have children, right? That's, okay. And that could be a good thing. Like, eat it up. Trust me. I don't know when the last time I got to sleep in was. Okay. Enough for you will never be enough for me. I realized this when I was engaged to my wife. And we were in the planning phase for the wedding, and there was one day on our calendar we were really excited about. It was the day that we got to go to Target to register for the wedding. Okay, this was a very exciting day for us, right? In my mind, I was thinking, the one day that we can get whatever we want, right? So we get to Target, and I remember we were in Jackson, Michigan. We were so excited. We get to Target, we register our information on the computer, and they give us guns. We each got a gun that day. So we take our gun, and the first thing we were going for was our towels. We had discussed this ahead of time. We knew we were getting 10 towels. My sisters had told me, you can never have enough towels. I don't know why. They said, you'll have friends over, and you always tend to run out of towels. So get 10 towels. So we were planning on getting green towels, and so we went right for the aisle, you know, right in the middle of Target, and we each had our gun, and we both shoot the towels, and I shot mine, and she shot hers, and we realized we shot different towels. I shot the most expensive towels, and Andre shot the least expensive towels. So there was a bit of a dilemma in that moment, right? We had figured everything out except for the brand that we were buying. And I looked at her and I said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm getting these towels. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, we're getting the most expensive. This is the one day in our life we do not have to worry about a budget, right? The only day. And she said, yeah, but these are all our friends. They're going to think we're greedy. So there was a bit of a conflict that day at Target. And so we decided to move on. She won. We got the cheap towels. And we moved on to the mixers. And I went for the $269 KitchenAid red and stainless steel mixer with multiple arms that go around. You know, how many of you have this? You don't have to say. Okay. And then Andre shot the $17.99 hand mixer. Now, our family makes chocolate chip cookies, and obviously Andre has never made chocolate chip cookies, right? Are you kidding? You got to hold the bowl while you're doing the thing? We still to this day have the $17.99 mixer 10 years later. So then we went on. I said, let's get out of the kitchen stuff. I'm going to register for a DVD player, and I was not going to lose this battle. And yeah, you guys all know what DVD players. I talked to some students recently, and they're like, DVDs, what? So we, and so there's a Sony, I registered for the Sony DVD player. It had all the, at that time, it was the top, and she let me do it. And then we went back, and we went to the vacuums. Mm-hmm. Now, I went for the Bissell, basically, you know, the vacuum that sucks up everything you could ever imagine you could put on a floor. And Andre went for the $29.99 Red Dirt Devil that to this day, no one can prove it sucks up anything. And so we sat there and we was such a, we saw the world so differently. What was enough for me was not enough for her. We saw things differently. And I remember I was saying, no, we need this. And she said, no, we need this. We don't need that. That's what you want and need and want. And we kept talking and talking. And next thing you know, both of our guns were pointed at each other's head in the middle of the aisle in Target. And in that moment, Andre starts crying. And I did what any man would do in that moment. I got out of Target as fast as possible. And I remember sitting in our car that afternoon in the parking lot of Target. It was snowing outside. It was supposed to be this amazing day, this glorious day of us buying whatever we wanted. And she's bawling, and we're trying to figure out what happened. You see, her family, she was a missionary's kid. She grew up in Bolivia. She was there until she was 10. Her family was dependent on giving from supporters here in America. And they weren't sure what was coming in the next month. So they had always bought the cheapest of something, the least expensive option, because they were really conscious of that. And additionally, her dad could fix anything. Like, so if it broke, he fixed it. To this day, he's still fixing that vacuum. And then my family, I was a pastor's kid, but we were at a kind of a larger church, and my dad couldn't fix anything. So he would buy the most expensive with the longest warranty. And so that was the worldview that I was seeing things through, you know? And so what was enough for me was not enough for her. I don't mean it's just like the contrast always from me and Clarence. Obviously, we see things totally different. But you sitting to the person next to you, you may see the world similarly, but you have different worldviews. Your story has played a different role. The easiest thing to do is to decide what is enough for someone else, isn't it? The hardest thing is to determine it for yourself. We can critique other people's choices all day long, but you will not be in a better place. You will not ever deal with that chart of excess, enough, and suffering until you draw a line for your own life. Enough for you will never be enough for me. Remember, you will never have enough until you believe you are good enough. Secondly, enough for you will never be enough for me. And thirdly, out of our excess, we can address issues of need and suffering. That story of Gift Card Giver is a great example of that. We take excess gift cards and give them to people in need. The story of our billboard bags is an example of that. We take billboards that are going into the trash. We're creating jobs for people that really need them. So here's my challenge to you. Will you do an enough experiment? Now, you're like, what's an enough experiment? It's a starting place to drawing a larger line of enough in your life. In some area, you have excess in your life. And it doesn't necessarily mean money. It's everyday things. Now, you might not have a job right now, and you have excess time. You may not have excess money, but you might have excess clothes. You know, I don't know what the thing is. If I was to say right now, if you were to write one thing down and I ask the question, I have an excess of blank. That's something you need to think about. What do you have in excess that you could help others with? Start with one simple place in your life that you can challenge us. Now, what does this look like? My wife and I asked this question, what is enough food? I challenged her to see how long we could go without going grocery shopping. And her response was, you're crazy, right? She said, well, what about milk? I said, if you need milk, we can get some milk. She's like, this is like the essentials in life, food. I said, I know, I think that we can go for a while living out of our pantry and out of our refrigerator. Now, you might, in the back of your head, you're picturing what that space looks like in your house. We lasted 147 meals times two. There's two of us. It was 7 weeks without going grocery shopping. Now, this was not a healthy diet. I gained 7 pounds. You know, some of the things in your pantry, like we had pancakes 4 times. We had, you know, we made it all the way back to the ramen noodles that we still had since college, right? They were good, though. They were good. We found in the back of our refrigerator like 6, I have no idea how they got in there, 6 loaves of frozen bread. When you start cleaning it out, all of a sudden you just start finding these things that you didn't even realize. Canned foods, I don't know, how many times have you guys gotten some kind of canned soup and it's been sitting in there for 6 months? We had a couple meals that we just called hodgepodge meals where everything would be thrown in a pot and we would just eat it, right? But all in all, 147 meals. Now, the sad part of this is we come home all the time, we open the refrigerator, and what do we say? There's nothing to eat in the house. That is not true. There's 147 things to eat in our house. What is enough food? Meanwhile, Clarence is coming to the door asking for work and can I get a sandwich or something, you know? We have been given much. And with just a little bit, we could help him in some capacity. And these social experiences, the reason why we say to do this is take one simple area of your life and challenge how you currently live, and it will snowball into other realities into your life. Okay? Second one, what is enough clothes? I know you were all hoping I wouldn't bring this up. What is enough clothes? If I was to ask you right now, how many clothes do you have? Your answer would be, I don't know. I would say most of you. No one's ever come up to me after. If you did, that would be awesome. You'd be like, I have however many clothes. Most people don't know. That's kind of ridiculous. That I wouldn't know how many clothes I have. It means that we have more than we can count. We have a lot. We have more than we need. We have an excess amount of clothes. We have a friend named Ashley, and she lives actually in South Atlanta, and she wanted to challenge us to see how many clothes she had. So she wanted to see how many days she could go without wearing the same thing twice. Now, in the back of your head, you're thinking a number that you could go, and that's great. It's probably more than what you think. So she went 156 days. You forget how many seasonal clothes you have. Now, granted, it wasn't like undergarments. It wasn't socks. You know, those ran out quicker. But tops, which included dresses, it included jackets, sweatshirts, T-shirts. I have so many free T-shirts from events. Everywhere I go, I get a free T-shirt, right? Sign up for this 5K free T-shirt. Volunteer for this thing, free T-shirt. You forget all the things that you have in your closet. So what is enough clothes? 156 days. On the last day, she wore a maroon satin bridesmaid's dress that she had in the back because she feels bad getting rid of it because like it was like her best friend, you know? She stood up in the wedding. How many of you have a bridesmaid's dress in your closet? Not me. I do not have a bridesmaid's dress in my closet. What is enough clothes? You guys get the idea, right? Simple social experiment to challenge what is enough in your own life and to start realizing what you have, what you've been given. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, there's a whole passage about generosity. And the reason why we do this is to have a lifestyle of generosity. Why do we want to challenge what we have been given? Why? Because we have a responsibility towards our greater community. I feel like that. There's scriptures all throughout the Bible that touch on this. But there's one in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 6. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm just going to read a couple verses here. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This statement, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. What I've realized is most of us never make a decision of what we're going to give. We get to the end of the month and we don't think we have anything else to give. But I don't want you to think about money when you think about generosity. I want you to think about your whole lifestyle. What could you give to address needs in your community? That is excessive generosity. What do you have in excess that you could draw a line where you could decide how and where you're going to be generous and who could benefit from that? When I think about excessive generosity, oftentimes I think when I get more, I'll be more generous. It will not happen. It happens today. How generous you are today will determine how generous you will be tomorrow. And you don't have to be rich to be generous. I know very wealthy people that are very, very generous. I know very poor people that are very, very generous. And some things about generous people that I've realized is, and you might think about this, there's probably a person in your life that you've experienced great generosity from. And there's some attributes that they have. There's two that always stick with me. Number one is they're always looking to give more. Just crazy. It's like you've given so much. And the next question is, what else can I do? What else can I give? How can I add more? And the second thing is that everything that they own, they never view as their own. They view it as something they've been given, and they have a responsibility to bless others with it. And I think deep down, we all want to be excessively generous with what we've been given. We want to help other people. It could be related to service, it could be time, it could be gifts, it could be money. I don't know what it is for you, but I have a feeling, I think there's something within all of us that we desire to be generous, we just don't know where to start. And so we're challenging people to do this experiment. Challenge one area in your life for you to be excessively generous. Determine what you have in excess, and out of that excess, we can address issues of need and suffering. This last story I have is about a sewing machine. We, I told you we have 8 women that we employ, and they learn to sew. Over the last 2.5 years, we've made like 50,000 bags. It's insane. They work really hard. They're incredible people. But they're also extremely generous. And 3 weeks ago, the leader of that community, her name is Kay. She's our manager. She's a refugee. She's been here for 3 years. And she speaks really good English. I think she's kind of like a shining light in that community. And imagine 50,000 bags being made on about 10 sewing machines. They're getting a little tired. You know, they're struggling. They're in and out of the shop. And so we've been doing some campaigns recently of trying to buy new industrial machines. These were actually pretty basic machines we've been working at. If any of you sew, you probably know the difference. So we've bought one industrial sewing machine. But she came into work 3 weeks ago, and her husband had bought a new sewing machine for that community. And I know how much she makes, and I know what she does, and I know her story. She is excessively generous. And I think people like her, people like Kay, when we meet them, we want to be more generous. So you'll never have enough until you believe you are good enough. Enough for you is never enough for me, and out of our excess, we can address issues of need and suffering. My question, my challenge to you is, will you do a social experiment to determine what is enough in your own life?
Well, today I have the great pleasure of sitting across the table from my good friend, Gerald Fadiomi. Gerald, how are you?
Man, I'm great. This is my first ever podcast, so I'm pretty excited about this.
It's your first time in the Think Orange podcast bunker. Do you like, what are your first initial thoughts?
This nursery is incredible. we are sitting at a table with no tablecloth right now, so I feel like we're high class Diddy right now. It's incredible. I love it.
If anybody can handle it, I think you can.
Come on, let's do it.
Now, Gerald, I just want to give people's a little bit of a thumbnail of who you are.
Sure.
And I especially want to do this from who you are in my world. We work together.
Yep.
You are the high school pastor at Brownsbridge Church, which is one of the North Point churches.
Yeah.
You're part of our North Point world.
That's right.
But more specifically than that, you and I, we've had the opportunity to sit down and have a coffee together and share each other's story.
Yeah.
So I feel like I want people to hear that. But also, you know, I just want to call out that you actually are leading two of my teenage daughters as well. How's that going?
There's no pressure there, right?
Am I that parent? I'm that parent.
No, you're not that parent. There's a lot of parents that are that parent. If you work with high school students, you know those parents. But Dave is not one of them. I love getting to do what I do and work with your kids.
So well, and that kind of leads us into one of the things that we want to talk. Well, the thing that we want to talk about today. What I've seen you do constantly in your interactions with me as a parent of a high schooler. What I've seen you do in the life of my high schooler is go the extra mile.
Sure.
How important is it for student ministers, student pastors, people who volunteer in that world to go a little bit further than what maybe their job description says?
Yeah, I mean, one, I think the phrase go the extra mile is almost overused. It's like a common phrase that it's lost the meaning and the power behind it, right? Like going the extra mile is something that we say, but how often do we actually do it? I think the better way to maybe phrase it is the idea of doing something that you don't have to do, right? And so as a employee, when you do something outside of your job description, you're doing something you don't have to do. You may not get recognition. You may not get paid for it. You may not get extra money. No one may even notice that you went the extra mile, that you did something you didn't have to do. But when you choose to do that, it does something in you and in the lives of the people around you. And so I think the question that we should all be asking ourselves all throughout our lives are, what are we doing that we don't have to do right now? And the thing that's funny about being in ministry, for anyone who's in ministry listening, whatever you do on Sundays is in your job description, whether it is or not, right? Yeah. Like, you're not going the extra mile if you're like, well, I did this on Sunday. Everyone who's watching you thinks that that's part of your job, right? It's what you do Monday through Saturday that determines if you're going the extra mile, if you're really doing something outside of your job description, if you're really doing something that you don't have to do. And that's one of the things that I try to do for our students. Don't always do a great job at it, but I'm trying to figure that out for sure.
So I want to come back to what you just said, that that's something, because I want to get some practical stuff towards the end. But before we get to that, when in your story have you seen somebody go the extra mile in your life that has paid huge dividends? Like, looking back.
Yeah, there's really three people that come to mind for me when I think about that. One is a couple, the Branches. That's who I call mom and dad. So when I tell my story, it gets really confusing because my mom went to jail my junior year in high school. My dad left when I was in the third grade. But I'll often talk about my mom and dad. And so people are like, wait a minute, I thought your parents weren't around. Well, it's because I was kind of adopted into a family, but not even really adopted, because I was 18 when I met them, or when they took me into their family. And so, but they're not rich by any means. It's not one of those blindside stories where there's like seven extra bedrooms and millions of dollars in the bank. This is a family that was in my community who I beat up their son at the water fountain in third grade, and me and him became best friends as a result. We played basketball together, and they saw my life falling apart, and they saw my parents being absent. And so they jumped in and said, hey, we don't have a lot to give, but what we do have, we want to offer it. And so they brought me in and took care of me for about 6 or 7 months. I moved out, but then kept coming home for Thanksgiving and for Christmas, and they were a part of my wedding. You know, I mean, when I have a hard time or a bad day, or when I have a really great day and something's going incredible, these are the two people that I ran to. And it's because they decided, hey, like, we don't owe this kid anything. He has family in Atlanta that should probably jump in and take care of him, but we see a need, and so we're going to go. We're going to jump in, and we're going to do something that we don't have to do, and we're going to invest in this kid. And it changed my life. So that's two of the three people that come to mind. Another guy is a guy by the name of Wes Bender. He works up in Nashville as a consultant. He's an incredible, incredible guy. Met him when I was 14, my freshman year in high school, and instantly became a mentor to me, invested in me, poured into me. I remember him sitting in waiting rooms of hospitals with me when my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. I remember this guy picking me up from school. I remember him waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and driving from coming down the Alpharetta to play basketball with me in the morning as I prepared for tryouts. And I didn't appreciate any of that in high school. But then you look back and you go, wait a minute, like, why did you do all of that for me? Because you did not have to do it. It wasn't in his job description, but he chose to do it anyway. And as a result, like, I am who I am today because of those three people, for sure.
So. And they just didn't have to do that, any of that.
No.
But they stepped up and they just went that extra mile.
Yeah.
They did what wasn't needed. I heard somebody once say that teenagers gravitate towards the oldest person in the room who shows them the most attention.
Yeah, that's
would good. You agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah, age isn't a factor in this, right? It's your heart is the factor in it. If you care, that's what makes the difference. And so if you'll show a student attention, if you'll show a kid attention, if you'll walk into a room and actually care about them, that's the only determining factor as to whether you can make a difference, for sure.
So let's get practical with this. You know, there are our audience is made up of a whole bunch of an eclectic group, but a lot of them are student, maybe in the high school, middle school, student pastors. What's one thing, or what's a couple of things that they could do to show those kids that little bit of extra attention? What have you found?
Yeah, well, one, I think even asking that is an overwhelming question, right? Like, especially the larger your ministry gets, the harder it is for, that can be a crippling idea to go, hey, how can I go the extra mile and be invested in people when I have 400 people or 300 people or even 200 people that I'm investing in. Like that, that'd be really difficult to do. So I would start by saying, hey, let's take the old Andy adage that I love so much and say, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone, right? Like you can't invest in every person. You can't go the extra mile for every person that you meet, but you can for someone or for a few people. So I would start by just saying, pick a few people that, that maybe you have a great relationship with, you have a great connection with. There's some kids that are in your ministry that when you see them, you light up and you should invest in them more than you do anyone else. And that's an okay thing. Mm. I think practically speaking, I hate texting, but students love it, right? Like, and there's something to be said for when they get a text out of the blue randomly just to go, hey, I'm thinking about you today. I'm praying for you today. Don't say you're praying for them if you're not actually praying for them. It's one of my biggest pet peeves. Just don't say it. Just say I was thinking about you. But just a random text message just to say, hey, like, I'm thinking about you today. I hope today is going well. We are in the 21st century. Everything's technologically based. The thing that's beautiful about that, though, is you can go back to your roots and do some old school stuff that actually makes a difference. Students don't get to open mail anymore. So a little handwritten note that's sent in the mail really communicates, man, like I'm thinking about you, I'm caring for you. And that takes 10 minutes out of your day.
Yeah.
So there's little things like that that you can do. One of the things that I do is I lead a Bible study for juniors and seniors in my student ministry. You would think as a student pastor that's in my job description. It's actually not. I don't have to do that at all. In fact, we asked our small group leaders to do that with their students, but it's something that's really important to me to be able to be face-to-face with my students. And so outside of my Sunday responsibility, outside of leading my team, outside of all the other things that are in my job description, I said, hey, I have to carve out this amount of time to actually get to hang out with students. So those are a couple of things that we do that I think about.
So when you do those sorts of things, what impact do you see it have in the students? For example, you know, that handwritten note, what sort of feedback do you get on the back end of that?
You know, that's a funny thing. You really don't. And that's what's amazing about it, right? Like, I don't do it and you shouldn't do it for the applause of other people. Like you may never hear anything from that student. But 10 years from now, it may be the letter that you wrote to them that was encouraging them or telling them something that you saw in them that no one else had said to them. Mm. That's the thing that 10 years later, they're going, oh my gosh, like I remember getting a note from my student pastor. I remember getting a note from my small group leader. I remember getting a note from this caring adult in my life who saw something in me that no one else did. And it shaped the trajectory of my life. So I may not see the fruits of that labor right now. Most high school students aren't waking up going, oh, I need to thank someone today, you know? But I think it really does make a difference. And you'll notice they'll be around more, right? Yeah. Like the more you invest in people, the more you go out of your way for people, the more they show up for you.
Yeah, so. That's really good. Gerald, it sounds like, you know, when I think of going the extra mile, I often sometimes think that it's those spontaneous things, like just somebody pops into your head and you shoot them a text, or, you know, you run into somebody who may need a ride home or something along those lines. But it sounds to me like you're not allowing it to be spontaneous. You're actually planning for these things. You're planning to go the extra mile.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, spontaneity is cool and it's a great thing when that happens, but they don't know whether it's spontaneous or not, right? Like you know if it was, but they don't. So why not plan it? Why not make it a part of your routine and your rhythm of life to make someone else feel encouraged or special or valued? I would say that that's a good thing. I would say that's a Christian thing, right? Like I would say that part of what we're called to do, if as disciples of Jesus, we're supposed to be known by how we love, why wouldn't you want to be intentional about loving people? Why would you wait for it to be accidental or spontaneous?
I couldn't agree more. You know, we, in my world, the world that I work in, you know, we have a Monday morning evaluation meeting. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this are, we have those as well. So Sunday happens and then Monday morning we get up and we go into an evaluation meeting. And as we're talking around the table, we're evaluating stuff. I literally write down, as names pop in, I write down the names of people under a little heading I have that says text this week.
Yep.
And I bullet point names of people who I want to text. Maybe it's because I heard that they were going through a hard time during the evaluation meeting. Maybe I heard they did a fantastic job. Yep. But that's one of the things that I do, like to not allow it to be spontaneous.
Yeah, that's great.
So in your world, how does this going the extra mile, how does it play out when, or can you give us some practical guidelines, some practical tools for doing that for parents? Because, dude, your world's split. You're not just managing and looking after kids and their spiritual growth and leading them, but you're partnering with the parents as well. So what does it mean to go the extra mile with a parent?
Yeah, one, I think just identifying and understanding the state of a parent, right? Like, that's not an easy thing to do. To parent and raise a child is a really difficult thing, especially for single parents, right? Like, so one of the things that I try to do when I have conversations with parents on the phone is I'm a problem solver. I could solve the problem in 5 minutes, get off the phone, and be able to move on with my day. But I try to have empathy to where they are. And so if I'm ever talking to a single mom or a single dad, I always say, hey, like, I know what you're doing is super difficult, and I just want to thank you for allowing us to walk alongside you in this. And if you ever need help outside of like this situation, I want you to know, as a church, we're here for you. And this is my cell phone number, so feel free to call me anytime, right? And I can't tell you the number of parents who have broke down crying on the phone just by me telling them thank you for what they're doing as a parent, because especially as a single parent, nobody's saying thank you to them. Again, because high school students don't wake up in the morning thinking, I gotta thank someone today. And so that's just one little way to go out of your way, to go above and beyond, to go the extra mile for parents. We do a thing called Parent Connect. We send an email to parents once a month to go, hey, here's the content that we're going to be talking about. That's not a new concept. A lot of people do that. One of the things that we have added to that, though, to help go the extra mile with them and to help parents go the extra mile with their kids, are just three questions that they can ask at the dinner table throughout the course of the month that tie back into the content that we're going to be teaching over the month as well. So that, and then honestly, like, I don't have favorites, but I show favoritism every now and then. If a parent calls me and says, hey, can you do this for my kid? And I can, why not? Like, I can't do it for every parent every time they call. But if I can every now and then go above and beyond or do something a little extra or have an extra conversation or take their kid to coffee, whatever it is, like, I'll try to do it for them or get their kid on a mission trip. I've done that before too. So I hope no parents are listening right now. But
well, I've been on the receiving end of that. I mean, just you know, today I said, hey, can I talk to you as my daughter's student pastor? And I asked you for something. And I saw you be so willing to go the extra mile. So I love the fact that this isn't just theory for you. This isn't just stuff you're saying because we're sitting in the podcast bunker and you've got to say the right thing.
Yeah.
I see that this is stuff that you actually do.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know what the right thing to say is. I've never been on a podcast before. So this is just what it is, right? Like, this is the way that I'm trying to live. And again, I'm not perfect. I'm trying to figure it out. But I think this is what Jesus has called us to, right? Like, our standard is supposed to be higher as Christians. And so if we're just settling for getting by every day, then we're missing the mark for sure.
That's so powerful. Let's unpack that a little bit, because this isn't just a way to get your boss to like you. This isn't just a way to be successful in your career.
Yeah.
This needs to be the core of who we are. This is what Jesus talked about. If we're following him, then he always went the extra mile. We need to do that as well.
Yeah, let's like put ministry aside for a second, right? Like, what does extra mile living look like on a day-to-day basis? Mm. Well, it looks like putting your phone in your pocket at the grocery store and actually having a conversation with your cashier, right? Mm. Like, that's the extra mile, because nobody is doing that right now. You know, we're on autopilot. We're constantly thinking about ourselves, and we don't ever slow down enough to actually hear the needs of the people around us. I live in an apartment. I just got married 5 months ago. Most incredible wife on the planet. But we have four sets of neighbors who live right next to us, and we know two of them, right? Like, and we'll try to go the extra mile for them. John is our next door neighbor. I'm going to talk about him later today in one of the sessions here at Orange Tour. He had a dog that passed away, and he lives by himself. He's in his 50s. He has a bunch of plants in his yard. It's super annoying. It's like his plants are growing into our space now. But one of the things that Kylie and I thought about doing for him was, hey, let's just buy him a plant. Like, I know he's hurting. I know he's going through a really hard time right now. This is something that he obviously loves. So let's do this for him. But we also have neighbors who live above us that we don't know their names. We haven't met yet, and we're missing the mark there. So we don't even really need to be in ministry to do this, right? Like, this is everyday living. And what would it look like if every Christian on the planet decided, I'm going to go the extra mile for every person who's in front of me? I'll tell you, we would not have some of the issues that we have in our world today.
Amen. So what I love about that is we often focus, and everybody's listening to this podcast and us too on it, we're in ministry, right? And so sometimes that's all we focus on. But if we're doing this in our normal regular life, it's just going to bleed into our ministry.
Totally.
And we won't need those practical tips. I mean, it's great to get them, but we won't need them as much because we're just doing it every day.
Right.
We're being for our neighbors every day.
That's right.
That's sometimes I think it's just, even it's just letting that person in traffic, right? When you're driving down Georgia 400,
yeah.
Rather than being the jerk who you know speeds up so that they can't get in.
Well, isn't it funny though that when you need to get over, you want someone to let you in, right? Like you want someone to go the extra mile for you when you need to get over. But the second someone else needs to get over, it's like, they knew that they should have got over a while ago. Well, you knew you should have got over a while ago, yeah. But somebody let you in. So why wouldn't we do the same?
Yeah, sometimes I think, you know, we get in such a mindset of being in the church world that we think it's only about, these things only happen in ministry. Or like I love what you're talking about your neighbors. That might seem like it's a big deal, and it is, and it's an important deal. But sometimes it's in the smallest of little things, like just letting somebody in.
Yeah.
I see it in our producer, Kevin. One of the things I love that he does that goes the extra mile, whenever he walks, we've been doing some tour stuff, we've been checking into hotels, he will always ask the person behind the counter's name. That's even great. If that's in a restaurant, he asks, what's your name? And then he introduces himself. Tiny little thing, but you see their countenance just change.
Well, yeah, and you say their name every time you talk
exactly.
to them, right?
Like
the most beautiful sound to be heard is the sound of your own name. The beauty of the gospel is that God knows our name, right? Like he knows our names. He's looking at me and he's going, Gerald, I'm proud of you. Gerald, I love you. What would it feel like if God was just like, hey, dude, you're awesome? It wouldn't feel as great, right? Like, and so why wouldn't we, again, go the extra mile and go, hey, man, what's your name? Hey, John, thanks so much for serving us today, man. You've been incredible. I hope you're having a great day. Let me know if there's anything else we can do for you. That you're flipping it on its head, right? Like, they're supposed to be serving you, and now you get a chance to serve them. Again, it's the Christian life. That's the life that we all want to live. The question is, will we slow down to actually do it?
Boom. Dude, that was powerful. That was good. Hey, Gerald, I just want to thank you for everything that you're doing, for everything that you're doing for my family, for everything you're doing for my kids, but also just the way I love that you're leading leaders now. You're doing this in such a wider context. How can people get in contact with you? How can they learn more about you?
I mean, are you asking for social media stuff? I don't know. I'm a dude, man. I'm a dude just like everyone else. I'm on Instagram, Gerald Fatiomi. You won't be able to spell my last name, so don't even worry about it. There's a lot smarter people and wiser people that you should be listening to and following other than me. But I'm just honored to get to be a part of what we're doing here, for sure.
Well, Gerald, thanks for taking time out of your busy day. I know you're about to go and speak and everything, so thank you so much. And we really appreciate having you in the Think Orange Bunker.
Well, thanks for having me in this nursery with no tablecloth. Loved it.
I mean, don't you just love Gerald Fatiomi? I mean, I've got Kevin looking through the portal. His little face is pressed up against it. He's nodding his head because he absolutely loved what Gerald had to say as well. I like that idea, that question that Gerald left us with. What are we doing in life that we don't have to do? And the great thing about this episode is Gerald asked that question. Well, Jeff answered it, right? With that 30-day challenge. So I want to issue that challenge as well. Over the next 30 days, I mean, between now and I guess kind of like Christmas, this is a season of generosity. This is a season of hope and thanksgiving. And it's a season where we are all thinking about other people and being compassionate. What if over the next 30 days, you were excessively generous with your excess? What if you were excessively generous with your excess? I'm sure all of us have stuff lying around the house. I know I walk into my garage and the first thing I see is a whole bunch of bikes that we don't use. My family doesn't use anymore. They've either outgrown them or something like that. What can I do with those? Give them and bless somebody else as a result of my excess. So I want to leave you all with that challenge as well. What can you do? How can you be excessively generous out of your excess over the next 30 days? Again, this is something that we would love for you to share with all of us. And you can do that simply by going to thinkorangepodcast.com, filling out the contact form. I would love to have this community of people sharing with each other ideas and ways that they can be generous and also stories of their own generosity. So go and visit thinkorangepodcast.com and share with us your stories of excessive generosity with your excess. Hey, I really hope that you got so much out of today's podcast. If you did, please make sure you take just a moment to write us a review. That really is the best way for you to start sharing this content with people. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast either via Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever it is that you're listening to this podcast from. And we'd also love for you to share this content with the people in your student ministry or in your circle of influence. And the easiest way to do that, you know, we've made this so simple. All you need to do is scroll down to the show notes and you will find a whole bunch of tweetable takeaways. And by doing that, you're connecting people with this amazing content that we put out every single week. Hey, thank you so much for being part of the Think Orange podcast today. And as we always say, whenever you think next generation, think orange.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Think Orange podcast.
Join us next time for more ideas and conversations to help you influence the next generation.
For more episodes and show notes, visit thinkorangepodcast.com.